This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Dale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recap Stock Season 1, Episode 20 of Community, The Science of Illusion. I'm Josh Wiggler. I am joined here by a magician in her own right, Jess Sterling. Hi, Jess.
I am now a level 6 laser lotus, so mm-hmm. I'm just so happy to be here. I'm yes. going to get my ceremonial robes. They just haven't arrived yet.
Yeah, I like the wand. The wand is cool. Is that a meteorite?
It's actually a warm cookie. I just heated it up in the microwave.
Uh-huh.
It's a wand that you can eat. What more do you need?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Hey, Jess, I'm really excited because oftentimes you and I are like spending like the first 5 minutes of each podcast debating which one of us is the badass.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that happens a lot here on Community Building. This week, no debate. It's our guest who is the badass, the legendary Wario Casino proprietor herself. Famous here in the post-show recaps community, QFD herself, Deidre Lipsicus. Deidre!
Oh my goodness, I'm basically a badass. That was quite an introduction.
Basically a badass. If you do not know QFD, whew, WTF is what I have to say to that, like, because you should know Deidre. I'm thrilled to know Deidre.
I'm thrilled to know Deidre, too.
And Deidre is thrilled to know Deidre as well. Deidre, welcome
Thank
to
you.
Community Building.
Hell yeah, I made it. This is Hell my yeah. main debut.
Hell yeah, you made it. Deidre, who has appeared on Patreon podcasts and post-show recaps in the past, whether that was like fly-by comments on a live post-show recaps theater or an episode of Post Show Recaps Theater proper.
Yes.
Deidre, did we have you on season 0 of Community Building?
No, nope. But I was on the introduction of Wario in the technically Watching with Wiggler
mm-hmm.
space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is the original hat trick. I've officially completed it now that it's really no longer relevant.
It's not really a thing anymore.
Congratulations!
But we're thrilled to have you here. We do record these episodes of Community Building live for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. If that's interesting to you, consider signing up. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It's always a really fun time with the crowd. Deidre, you're always here in the crowd every
yes.
week. Is it weird to be making the leap into being on the podcast instead of like telling me and Jess some interesting fact that like we need to have fact checked because we got some sort of like basic information about a thing wrong?
It's very weird to be on the other side. I don't know that I've necessarily done too much fact checking, but I've definitely been on Dougie Watch and Winston Watch, and
yes,
it feels very weird to not be like responding to people in the comments on like typing it out. Feels yeah. very strange.
Deidre, a comment that we have received from Corey D, not Corey B, as we are talking this all through right now, is if Deidre, if you are here, if QFD is here, who's watching the Wario Casino?
He's being unsupervised, which
oh no,
is a scary proposition.
Lord Deidre,
knows
for
what
anyone
that
who
I can get up to.
For anyone who's listening to this and is not a patron of Post Show Recaps and maybe has heard like legend of what is this about a Post Show Recaps casino? Could you like do a quick sell on what is the Post Show Recaps patron casino?
It's kind of like a dive bar of our PSR Discord, but essentially it is a chance-based robot-controlled game. Question
yeah.
mark. These words have never mm-hmm. been strung together in the same mm-hmm. sentence before. where it's sort of like a Mario Kart, it's sort of like a Mario Party, and it's also sort of like a slot machine. and nothing matters but having fun, and lots of fun is had every single day.
Would you say it's the best game that's ever been invented, or like the coolest game that's ever been invented?
Both. It's certainly the best and coolest game that I've ever been part of inventing.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Also the only game I've ever been part of inventing.
It's really cool. It's a great game. It goes on 24/7. There's never a minute, I feel like, where the game is not being played in the post-show recaps.
Sometimes there's Discord. Like 5 minutes when Wario goes down, but it hasn't happened in a while, but
it's been a minute.
Those are dark times when we have no Wario to play with.
If you want endless amounts of entertainment, and if you want to hang out with Deidre, who is the bartender, the proprietor of the Wario Casino, Deidre is how I think of you. QFD. Yeah. Consider
serving drinks, flinging whatever your imagination gossip, hanging out,
being your friend. That's what happens there. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Come check out what the casino is all about. Have a great time.
Absolutely.
You love Deidre. I love Deidre. Why Deidre for the April Fool's episode of Community, which is what we're about to get into here?
Well, this actually just kind of worked out because we had to do some schedule swapping at one point. And Deidre got swapped because otherwise she would have been podcasting on her birthday or she already plans or whatever it was. So she ended up getting this episode. I actually think it's kind of perfect. I don't know why. This episode is kind of like zany. And so I feel like that fits Deidre very well. I don't know. Deidre, how do you think you would look in Pierce's wizard robes?
I mean, I think I would look baller AF, but
I think so too.
I feel like the buddy cop dynamic that we get from Annie and Shirley this episode is very much like me and you running around the Discord. So
yeah, I can feel that. But which one of us is the badass though? Is it you? I think it's you, probably.
I mean, Josh did literally introduce me as the badass.
That's fair.
I did.
I am more the rule follower, so I think that tracks.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like, not being able to come on for the objectification episode where everybody is just hanging out and Tidy Whitey's playing pool was a big loss for me on my first day. as a tradition... The traditional fan of Joel McHale from long ago. It was an interesting episode when I found out I was not going to be able to podcast about that.
Days?
Mm-hmm. Big Soup Days fan.
I don't get it. I just don't see him in that way. I don't know what it is. I think
what,
you don't see
Jeff the way Dean sees Jeff?
No. Yeah. I think it's the Keebler nose because he's like too Keebler cute. Nose. He's like a little button nose.
Yeah, sweet. Sweet guy.
Really yeah, sweet like more guy. Of a schnoz.
A schnoz. Yeah. The schnozberries.
Stronger schnoz.
The schnozberries taste like
schnoz. Gotta keep up with my schnoz, you know? They gotta have the strong schnoz.
This is a good, strong schnoz podcast trio we've got right here.
It's a lot of talk about Jeff Winger in an episode where I feel like, I guess he has an important role, but like, he is Lizzie. Like... He's important in terms of like facilitating some of the stuff, but he's very clearly one of the weaker characters in an episode where, to tip my meow meows, in an episode where I have 3 fives on the board, I have a 4.5 on the board. Like, this is an episode where, I think this episode is probably going to end up charting pretty high here in season one of Community. And I think, like, rightfully so. Just this feels like, really an episode where we are arcing towards the energy of season two. Like, this felt in many ways like a concept episode to me.
I completely agree. I think between you having Abed commentating and the buddy cop situation plays very much like a parody. I also feel like it is more of a showing for the ensemble versus just a Jeff or just an Abed episode. It really does feel like it shows off most, if not all, of the characters. A few get a little bit left behind. But I agree. I think it's definitely, you can tell this is towards the end of season one. And that they're charging in at a little bit of a different direction than they started off at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I like to liken it to, it's not just a concept episode. It's not quite a high concept episode. It's maybe a low concept episode where like the beats of the buddy cop dynamic are familiar, but they're not overdone, and it's not the whole thing going on in the episode.
Yeah. DJ, did you really binge all of Community season one in a day in preparation for this podcast?
I definitely did that. I am nothing if not prepared. I watched the movie that I brought on for PSRT twice in that week. So I have been a fan of Community ever since it was on. I watched it live, having been a big fan of Joel McHale from the Soup days. But I have actually not rewatched it until yesterday. So
you've been listening to the podcast, but not watching week to week.
I've been following.
This is sort of your move.
Yeah. This is the Deidre move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the famous Deidre move. I am not traditionally a rewatcher. There's just so much content out there, and I just want to, you know, there's always something on my list that is calling my name more so than a rewatch.
But I wonder this is how like, many people are out there that are like that, right? That like are not rewatchers.
My health teacher in eighth grade was like, I never watch a movie more than once or a TV show more than once. I've watched it once, and if I were to watch it again, it would be a waste of time.
Yes.
This really messed with me as a kid, because like I had watched like certain movies like a thousand times.
All children
like,
do.
And I was like, am I wasting my life? Like, am I wasting my time?
Oh my
and
God.
It is only like, you know, two decades plus later that I realized that guy was an idiot.
Yes.
And I'm the genius.
You have built your life and career
can eat
upon
it, Mr. Homer. Yeah.
Yeah. I almost for a second thought that your high school health teacher, whatever teacher, was my dad, because this is the exact same philosophy my dad has. The only thing he's ever seen more than once, not accidentally, because he also does that, is he's seen the show Deadwood more than one time. That is the show. That is the single show in the world that my dad has watched more than once.
That's a fascinating one to choose as your only thing to rewatch. Deadwood's good. It's really good, in fact. But
my stepdad was really into rewatching old L.A. Law episodes for a while.
La Law, as I like to call it.
Yeah, La Law. The L.A. Law theme song was like constantly playing in my
How does that go again, Deidre?
I don't even remember. I may have locked it back out of my head.
My dad is a character, but I just don't get it. Like, why is the thing you would watch more than once Deadwood?
But also, like, let me watch what I want to watch. Don't judge me. My life is fine.
Yeah,
still pretty
watch
triggered
what you
by
wanna
it.
Watch,
I think about this
a
lot.
The same thing over and over again,
does it bring you joy?
Is it hurting anybody? No, yeah, I don't think so. It could be. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Hey, the science of illusion. The science of illusion. The April Fool's Day episode that aired on March 25th. Gotta love that.
Yes. It makes perfect sense to have an April Fool's Day episode of Community. I think it tracks with Greendale. Dean is making an announcement. It is April Fool's Day. Just kidding. It's the day before.
That's a really great April Fool's prank is to like do April Fool's not on April Fool's. Jess, are you a big April Fool's fan?
No. I just don't really enjoy pranks. I feel like most times they're mean-spirited, and I just don't really understand the point, especially if it's like a wasteful one. You know, like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like what? Like the thing with the sprayer on the hose on the sink. You remember when that was like a thing and you put like rubber bands around it to like keep it on?
Rubber
like,
bands just, abound. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So many rubber
everywhere.
Bands.
Yeah.
And you're just like making the person have to get dressed again.
Well, that's part of the prank. Yeah.
It's not funny though. Yeah.
Deidre, do you love an April Fool's Day prank?
I'm not a big like pranks person, but I do low-key love the like stupid internet things that happen for April Fools. I know it's a really hot take. I know a lot of people really hate like corporate April Fools, but I think like what you're saying of doing it the day before is actually happening, just like how Christmas is slowly creeping from like December to November and like now into October. there's also an April Fool's Day creep. And like, you have to really examine all the news announcements and tweets that go out in the week, the last week of April or the last week of March, right before April Fool's, because a lot of them end up being low-key April Fool's Day joke.
I hate April Fool's Day so much.
But a couple years ago, they had Pokemon on Google Maps for April Fool's Day. That's just so pleasant.
As a recovering and potentially once in future entertainment journalist, who knows where this thing... Once the podcasting thing goes belly up and I got to go back to my roots, the thing I'm looking forward to the least is being an entertainment reporter on April Fool's, because you can't trust any news. You can't trust anything. Everyone's trying to like tell you that like a thing that's so far-fetched is real, and so many people are gonna be so gullible and they're gonna pick it up. And here's a piece of lore. Because of that like standard, nobody believed it when on April 1st, I believe 2010, it would either have been 2010 or 2011, but 2011 feels late. So I gotta imagine it was April 1st, 2010. Finally, it was announced who would be directing Marvel's Avengers movie. It was Joss Whedon. And it was like, this is a joke. This is a stupid April Fool's prank. It's not real. It's like, no, this one was real. Report on this. It's like, nah, you're not getting me this time. It's like, no, it's real. You can't trust anything.
Being April a journalist terrible. On April Fool's with anxiety just really actually seems awful. Like it. Yeah, awful. It sounds awful. Like a perfect storm.
This is such awful. Like a this is like such a narrow window of like you know, Cry Me a River type stuff, but like April Fool's in my profession, has been like for you know well over a decade for me now, has just been like absolute nightmare. Hate it so much. With that being said. And Jess can attest that there is an ongoing post-show recaps patron April Fool's Day prank that's going to be lit in 2022.
It's going to be a long wait for it to pay off.
The April Fool's Day of 2022 post-show recaps patron prank is going to... It is lit. It's on fire.
Do I even know what it is?
No bit. Dragon fruit. It's so good. Dragon fruit. This
it's
is
ridiculous,
not
but it's wonderful.
So good. It's so
I'm kind
good.
Of starting
so
to good. Feel like this is a Chicago Fire podcast that's launching on April 1st.
Oh my God. Well, that would be incredible. I thought that you were saying that this right here was the Chicago Fire podcast.
Are we the backdoor pilot to the Chicago Fire podcast? Because if so, I did not watch that.
Let me just like mark that down as an idea.
It's the wrong show.
Chicago Fire podcast on 4/1/2022. It's an idea. Okay. Let us get into the episode itself. Jess, guide us in. We begin again with the Dean's announcement. It's the day before April Fool's. He's got the kick me sign on his back, which is fantastic.
So good. Leonard busts in and he goes, ba-ba booey, ba-ba booey, as like a prank, which apparently this is Leonard's strike two. So I'd really love to know what strike one was with Leonard.
Do you think that his strike one was the kick me sign on the Dean's back, or do you think that that was the hands of another student?
Oh, no, that's definitely Leonard, but I feel like he just didn't notice it was Leonard.
Fair enough.
Mm.
I think he just did the suave, you know.
Leonard, I was doing my Dean's list and I forgot that Leonard had this moment at the start of the episode. I think I gotta give a Dean's list point to Leonard. He's so funny just running in and hijacking the mic.
Leonard is also there like carving Dean Pelton something or other into the desk.
Dean sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my first ever Leonard point, I think, on the Dean's list. So I feel like that's a worthy point. He's just the baba booey, baba booey. Like, what is like an old man thing to do?
He earned it.
Just rush in and hijack the mic. It's pretty great.
Yeah, so the Dean warns everybody to keep pranks physically safe, politically balanced, and racially accessible. Whatever that means. Jeff enters the study room and Troy says the Dean doesn't get it. The point of a prank is to shake up the system. Mm-hmm. Who wants nuts? It's supposed to be a can of worms or can of snakes or whatever the heck it is.
Can of peanuts.
Yeah.
Right, but it's supposed to be
a snake. Do you understand how peanuts work? Yeah.
Yes. Looking for something? And he holds up the snake.
That's a good prank.
That
I think
was
like
a good bit.
A very good harmless subversion of a classic April Fool's prank. The thing, the terror that you're looking for, it's right over here. It's not where you thought it was. That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Annie's reading a pamphlet. She's excited because they allow volunteers for campus security during heightened shenanigans, which is MOTPD if I've ever heard of anything.
When is Greendale not taken over by heightened shenanigans?
It seems like it's all the time, right?
Continuous heightened shenanigans. Annie and Shirley decide they're going to do it together, and Abed asks which one of them will be by the book and which will be the badass.
Yeah.
Shirley says Abed is silly because she'd obviously be the badass.
Annie's not thrilled about
She's upset.
Yes.
I would be too.
Yes. Yes.
You obviously want to be the badass.
Yeah. I would love to. I would love nothing more than to be a badass. Unfortunately, it's just on the stars for me.
Today might be the first time in my life I've ever been called a badass.
It's a lot of responsibility to be a badass. Mm-hmm. Just speaking as one, like, it can be very difficult to live your day to day in this state. People expect a lot out of you, and you have to really carry yourself a certain way.
Right, right.
It's a lot of flexing involved.
Oh, yeah. A lot of physical and metaphorical flexing.
Yeah, you have to, like, walk around, and so it's like, hey, how's it going? You have to go, like, what's up? And like you gotta like put your arms up. What's up?
That's how you flex the bottom.
Yeah, guns up. What's up? Yeah, it's a pretty badass thing to do, and it can be a little tiring after a while. You need a nap.
Tiring and intimidating.
Need a little nap to recharge as a badass.
No. Yeah. Mike
Bloom has taken the podcast. He's out.
Yeah, he's stopped. He's left the podcast. So Pierce enters.
He got further than Kevin Mahadeo, so let's give him that.
Pierce enters and says his Buddhist church is having its annual ascension ceremony, and he will be a level 6 laser lotus.
Wow, that's cool. That's badass.
Many levels.
Fingering.
Yeah.
He has to detoxify for the ceremony by drinking salt water and honey.
Yeah.
They're trying to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely what's happening.
Yeah. No I'm one pretty in sure his when you hive.
Drink when you drink salt water, I'm pretty sure it makes you throw up.
Really? Ooh,
I thought so. That's why you guys can't drink like ocean water.
Will you just filibuster real quick? I'm gonna go, I'll drink some salt water real fast. I'll report back. If you could just hold down the podcast for the next 5 minutes.
Okay.
Or cool. I'll just hold on, I'll pause this down real quick and then we can come back and I'll edit it in post.
So okay. Deidre, do you wanna like tell him that he's like not the badass of the podcast? Or like should I do it? Like quick while he's gone.
I mean he's the one who told me that I'm the badass, so
yeah, I think he's just like the badass.
Oh god, yeah, so it totally makes you puke.
Oh no.
It's really gross.
Do you think the honey is what helps?
The honey brings you back.
Honey brings you back.
The honey brings you back.
Do you think that's why they call the little groups in the Buddhist church hives?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, because the honey brings you back.
Yeah, the honey brings you back. The honey brings you back. We could build a song around that. Someone call Will from America.
The honey brings you back.
Song of the Summer 2022. The honey brings you back.
So no one in Pierce's hive has ever seen a six, but he'll have immunity to germs, heightened psychic abilities, and improved night vision.
Yeah.
Which of
he's getting
three,
dark vision. Cool.
Yeah. Which of these three would you prefer if you could only have one?
Heightened immunity psychic ability, immunity to germs, improved night vision. Yeah, I think immunity to germs for sure.
I don't need to see in the dark. I'm sleeping. I don't want to read
this
people's
brains. Barely being able to see, so I'm good. Yeah. Give me immunity to germs for every reason that you could possibly think of.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, especially in a global pandemic,
yes.
It's definitely the number one on the board with a bullet. But
yeah. I don't want to know what everybody's thinking. I
want to
really
know what heightened psychic ability really.
I don't want to know a thing. About
I would
that.
Say maybe if you could choose when to hear it, right? Because if you have to hear it all the time, it sounds awful. But if you can choose, you know what I mean? It's like rolling insight, but you're always getting nat 20s. You just like that's it.
I don't want that. I don't want it. I want to know nothing about what everybody's thinking. It's already bad enough assuming. It's only going to be worse when I know.
Yeah. I mean, you could end up with like Wanda type powers.
No, I don't
like
want it.
Improved psychic ability.
I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't. I want nothing to do with it. Okay.
Well, we can all agree that improved night vision is the bottom of the board.
It's the worst.
Yes.
No, I'll take that before the psychic abilities. I don't want to know. I want nothing to do with it.
We don't have consensus.
Ask me tomorrow and maybe my answer changes.
Are you going to go out and try to see things in the dark? Is that why we have to ask tomorrow?
Yeah.
We have to wait until after the dark.
Picture Josh like sneaking around outside, like looking at things.
Actually, you can't picture that because I'm so stealthy, you can't even see it in your mind.
No.
All right, let's carry on.
So Jeff says that some guy was delivering level 6 ceremonial robes before he arrived.
Uh-huh.
And he tells Pierce to run and catch him. As soon as Pierce leaves, Jeff sends Abed to the theater department for a ridiculous outfit.
Yeah.
Britt is upset about this.
She doesn't think this is very funny.
No, she says they're exploiting someone who's being brainwashed by a cult. And Shirley says it sounds a lot less fun.
Less fun when you say it like that.
She's not wrong.
This is where we get into Britta the buzzkill.
Yeah, everybody agrees that Britta is a buzzkill. Trey calls her a fun vampire because she doesn't just suck blood. She just sucks.
Yeah, what's fun about that, I believe we call that an energy vampire on What We Do in the Shadows. What's funny about Britta being a buzzkill who just ruins everybody's fun is that she is outstandingly hysterical in this episode.
She's so good.
She's so funny.
With a tiny sombrero, we'll get there, but her face with a tiny sombrero, it's like you wanted to pinch her cheeks. It was adorable. Yeah,
she's just tremendous in this one.
She is really good, but I feel like this is, and we can get more into it later with the beans, but I feel like this is really a turning point for like Britta as a character, and it's not something that I love personally. I don't love them calling her out into her face as somebody that's supposed to be their friend and saying you just suck everything and you're a horrible person. And
I think maybe this is a hot take. I don't know. Sounds like nobody ever really can agree on when Britta's a good character. It is possible that from start to finish, based on just the collection of experiences from talking to people along the way, that nobody can agree on whether or not Britta's a good character. Some people say she gets worse, she gets bad. Other people, I think, say that she's bad from the start. Is that where we are on the Britta spectrum? Is Britta like a bottom tier character in Community?
I don't think she's bottom tier at all. I think she's fantastic in this episode. And Dan Harmon kind of gets into it on the commentary and saying like, this is the most real version of Britta that there is. And the reason that people don't like Britta is because she's not supposed to be this like hilariously funny character. She's supposed to be like the real character. So I think she's hilarious in this episode, but I agree with Deidre. Like, we are getting to that point and you can feel it. You could feel it in the air that we're getting to the point where Britta is the butt of every joke. And I think she's super endearing in this episode. And I really love her speech at the end, and we'll obviously get there. But I think like this episode endeared me to her even more.
Yeah. I love her in this one.
I just want to give her a hug. Mm-hmm. Her friends are being crappy to her.
Great. I think she's great.
Yeah. She's there for people a lot of the time.
She's the heart of the group.
She is. So Pierce returns. He couldn't find him, but Abed comes in behind him with a box. There are wizard robes in the box and a hat. Everyone tries not to laugh except Britta, who looks really upset, and Pierce calls her a buzzkill.
To just call these wizard robes also is like a disservice to like what they actually are. And it's basically just like Mickey Mouse Fantasia cosplay. Yes.
It is exactly that.
But it's also Cookie Crisp.
Yes.
Which I didn't know either. Troy. Cookie Crisp was always the robber in
still
the...
Still can't verify it. Is it really not? Is it actually a wizard? I never Googled this.
It was... So, originally... So, they had many iterations. There was Cookie Jarvis, Cookie Crook, and Cookie Cop, which is the one Josh is talking about. There's Chip the Dog and Chip the Wolf. I remember Chip the Wolf.
I think I remember Chip the Dog.
I also remember Chip the Dog because Chip the Dog was in 1990. Chip the Wolf was 2005.
Yeah.
So I remember both of those. Chip the Dog was from my childhood. I remember. And I remember the commercials. I think it was Chip the Dog that was like, Cookie Crisp.
Yeah. I keep hearing you saying Trip the Dog. And I keep wanting to be like, why are we tripping the dog?
No, they all have like C names, like Chip, like chocolate chip.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was Cookie. Yeah, so it was Chip. Chip would howl the cereal's name. Cookie Crisp.
He did do that, but he was with the burglar.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely don't remember it being a wizard at all.
This dog was a criminal.
Yes, he has like the, I think he has like the mask thingy on.
Many dogs operate outside of the law.
Yes, they have to.
The law does not apply to dogs.
The law is too restrictive for dog kind.
Oh, apparently,
I am not a lawyer, nor am
apparently
I a dog.
Eventually, once General Mills bought the Cookie Crisp trademark, they made Chip a friendly pooch, no longer wearing a mask, who offered Cookie Crisp to a group of kids.
Okay.
He's sharing.
There you go.
Reformed.
There's so much to learn about Cookie Crisp.
There's a lot. A lot on the table.
Yeah. So anyway. So yeah, he's also the Cookie Crisp wizard. He's also like Mickey Mouse. He looks wizardy. We're in the dean's office. The dean is deputizing Shirley and Annie as campus security for 48 hours. He gives them whistles and windbreakers. He can barely get his whistle around Shirley's hair. It's ridiculous sight gag.
Yeah.
And he only has one pepper spray.
He gives it to Annie. This is a mistake. Where Annie takes it. This is
Annie
a mistake.
Annie snatches that.
Oh, yeah. It's a mistake. This is a mistake. This is a
mistake. Did you catch shouldn't what he that. Said, though, when he says, I've only got one, and then Annie snatches it? He says, I guess I'll just grocery shop in a safer neighborhood.
Oh, my God.
Wild.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, Annie says she's the badass, and then Shirley asks how she figures that's true. Shirley said she didn't figure because she's obviously the badass.
She's the obvious badass. Yeah. Dean's confused. Abed has to fill him in. It's a classic buddy cop, but with a twist.
Yep. Abed is just there. He's just there. But it's still great
cable,
that he's there.
His cable went out, so he had nothing better to do.
Yep. Short story.
Abed's a great background character in this one.
He's so fantastic. Good. And the funny thing is on the commentary, they originally had it as Abed and Annie were the cops. But like they decided that when Abed has that role, he's not as funny as when he's commentating from the sidelines. So they gave it to Shirley instead. And that's what also kind of led to the rivalry, which I love. Shirley and Annie, one of the best pairings of the entire show. I love them together. I feel like they just play off of each other perfectly.
They're tremendous in this one for sure. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
We're now in the cafeteria. Britta wants to run something by Jeff. She has an idea for a prank. She wants to sneak into the anatomy lab and steal a frog, put it on Chang's desk, and it has a tiny sombrero that says Senior Chang.
I'm Senior Chang.
Jeff doesn't like
it. A great idea. I love this prank.
It's adorable.
My Instagram feed would agree with the fact that I would love this prank.
Yeah. I think that probably the thing that I don't love is the stealing of the frog. I don't think you want to steal a frog.
I think if you put it in like another container, it's fine. But just letting it leap around wildly is not going to go well.
Yeah, that was a bad choice of
like
very
do a turtle
pre-sight.
A turtle's not going to go anywhere.
But I didn't really like think it all the way through of like, what am I going to do once I have a frog in my hand?
Yeah. I was impressed that she picked. That was a massive frog, by the way. It was huge.
Large. He was a round boy.
He was a round boy.
Round boy.
So Britta thinks it's hilarious. She says Jeff doesn't think it is because it's not at someone else's expense. You know what? My prank is going to cause a sea of laughter and I'm going to watch you drown in it.
That's sort of dark. But not as dark as how the prank actually goes.
God, awful. Yeah. So awful.
The way the prank actually goes, like, had very strong Matt Jameson in The Leftovers energy.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. 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 That's the prank I told you about. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's bad.
Pierce is trying to read Troy's mind and says seven. That was the number that Troy was thinking.
Yeah.
Pierce tells Jeff he can read minds, and Jeff tells him to guess what color he's thinking of. Pierce says pink, and Jeff says, what the hey?
What the hey?
Must
holy
be the
shnikes.
Rope.
Yeah, holy shnikes indeed. Pretty common thing to say.
Yeah, yeah. This is when Starburst starts calling Pierce Cookie Crisp. Jeff hands over a box that apparently the guy forgot to deliver and says it focuses Pierce's powers.
So it's a wand with a cookie on the end of it. And yeah, I don't know. Missed this just barely, I guess. And I don't know. Like I feel like how old is Cookie Crisp?
Dude, like, it's been around for a while.
How long are we talking?
1977.
That's how long Cookie Crisp's been around?
Yeah.
It's a long time for America to be eating cookies for breakfast. It explains a lot.
I mean, we're Americans.
Yeah, yes. Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, hey, they canceled Oreo O's a long time ago.
Oh, Oreo O's are so good.
You can only get them in South Korea now. So it was a legitimate question.
I never had those.
You would like them. You
lived.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever had the cookies and cream flavored Pop-Tart? Tastes just like it.
Yeah. Don't think I have.
They're good, too.
I'm pretty loyal to my strawberry frosted, so.
The classic for a reason.
Yeah, I don't really like to deviate, unless it's like, maybe I'll do like a cherry.
Cherry's good.
Maybe. There's a raspberry, right?
On the cherry. They're like more like standing sugar. Yeah. Instead of those rainbow bits.
Just let me, your brown sugar Pop-Tart.
I like s'mores Pop-Tarts.
Just the s'mores Pop-Tart. We've discussed this, but I
also like the brown sugar.
Yeah, so that I think that s'mores take definitely disqualifies you from this conversation. So
s'mores Pop-Tarts were one of the greatest Pop-Tarts.
I think this disqualifies both of you from being on the podcast.
Where they are able to get two different flavors of Pop-Tart goo on the inside.
Like, it's wonderful.
Alternating stripes of goo.
It's the swirl that does it for me.
Till the day I die.
Yes. Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah. Nope. It's not great. That's a bad take, both of you. But I appreciate you feeling comfortable enough to share your bad takes on this podcast.
History will look kindly on our takes on s'mores Pop-Tarts.
That's fine.
I guarantee it. So, yes. So Pierce holds it up, the wand, and Troy and Jeff act like it's very painful for them.
Yeah, I love Jeff being like, the way he plays is really good.
Troy suggests maybe it's made of a piece of meteor, and Pierce shouts, Buddha arrived on a meteor!
Interesting. Interesting.
It's been a while since Pierce has eaten anything.
Okay, so this is Britta's gonna sneak into the lab to steal the frog for the prank.
Yeah.
And so it plays out, she puts the hat on the frog, she thinks it's hysterical, but then the frog, as a frog is wont to do, leaps into the air, and Britta freaks out trying to find the frog, and in the pursuit of the frog, she knocks a body bag, which currently contains a body. There is a cadaver in this bag.
On like a gurney that's with wheels, where the wheels are not locked.
Right. Yes.
It's a true comedy of errors.
Yes.
Bad choice by that person who left that gurney there.
And it like falls out the window and she tries to hold it on, but she only pulls the bag up and the bag falls on her and the body falls into the ground and people below are like, oh my God, call the cops. Oh no, it's a body. Yeah. And she stumbles backwards and steps on the frog.
Crunch.
Senior Chang is dead. Awful. I thought they said he can't be killed.
He can.
This in frog is form. So ill.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite scenes in Community so far. It's just the way, like the escalation is just disastrous and so good.
So high.
So high. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it's my awful. TV best when the stakes are sky high.
And they're really high.
Yeah.
It is like a very vicious scene that we see here.
Did you guys notice some of the other animals in the background? In
there's like a porcupine, a monkey.
This is a wild anatomy lab for a community college. And like, I know we have to disbelief suspended, not a typical community college, but like even a regular like university, even like anything, like a porcupine.
What are they doing with it?
All the bodies. Let's talk about that.
Unrefrigerated bodies. Just
unrefrigerated is an important qualifier.
Ew. Oh, I just thought about that. Because he's not like, there's not the stuff in them. Like, because they're going to like look at the stuff.
Yeah.
There's not the stuff in them.
That's the word. Embalmed. I couldn't think of what it was, but I knew they like put stuff in them.
There's not the stuff in the body. At this point,
it's just the other stuff.
Just the other stuff.
Which is getting warmer as he sits there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Embalm.com.
Oh, no. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't want to look. I'm not looking. I refuse.
Don't do it.
This is hysterical, though, and Gillian Jacobs is incredible and should be praised profusely for just the way that, like, Britta's this one.
Well, like, the choreography of the whole scene is like a dance. It's really masterful.
I just love how happy she looks when she sees the frog with the hat. She's so happy in that moment, right?
Weren't you also that happy seeing the frog in the hat? It's so cute.
Low-key, I grew up loving frogs. We had a pond and I used to catch frogs all the time and I would like pick them up and play with, like, I loved frogs. So yes, it made me very happy.
Did the frogs love you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We were friends.
I don't know. Does a frog like to be played with? Doesn't strike me as an animal that wants you to play with it.
Fiddle with it, you know.
So what did you do?
You just take them out and you like watch them jump around.
Just did these frog catching skills of your
youth. Like a little bit of a fiddler. I feel like there was some fiddling happening.
I was not
for
fiddling
sure.
with them. No, I was very nice to
the
them.
Word fiddle did come like very like light to the top of the puddle for you. Did all of your frog catching skills help you in the casino frog fishing game?
No, not at all.
There is a game in the casino in which you can go fishing every once in a while, and you got to find Froggy.
Yeah.
And it's always a big deal when you find the frog. So consider signing up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You want to play with frogs? You want to fiddle with frogs? You want to go fishing for frogs?
It's not great.
This is not a joke. We have this available in the post-show recaps Patreon program. patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We fiddle with frogs and it's a delightful time and you can join us. come to the sign up and mention that you're here for the frogs and we'll hook you up. We'll make that happen. We can debug the frog game. We can make that happen on demand. Just let us know. We'll do it. So then it's the next day. And so now the episode becomes like CSI Greendale.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the dean finds the body and he's talking to the police. Apparently the body knocked into a brand new sign, which makes it even worse, according to the dean.
Dean is obsessed with his sign.
Yes. And Shirley and Annie arrive in this like decked out UTV. They knock over a garbage can. Annie spits on the ground and introduces herself. Morning, boys. I'm Annie Edison, but people call me Psycho because I had a nervous breakdown in high school.
People call me Psycho is an incredible line.
My partner's a Christian housewife.
Yeah.
That was what killed me.
The disparity. Yeah.
Oh, I love her. Shirley says she
I
plays
by my own rules. I only have one rule. Stay out of my way.
Stay out of mine. More.
Yeah, more. Yeah.
Oh, good. The cop says they can take care of it because it's misdemeanor vandalism, and the dean is upset. Ahmed tells Dean to tell them they have 24 hours to solve the case. And the dean doesn't.
Yeah, he takes a picture. That's the poster. So, yeah, Ahmed's just, like, directing life in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And he's eating candy throughout, by the way.
Basically at the movies.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on the variety of snacks that Ahmed has throughout this episode. At one point, I'm pretty sure he even has like sticks of Laffy Taffy sticking out of a vest. Yeah. Like he's going fishing, but for candy.
Banana Laffy Taffy.
Gotta get his entertainment elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we're now in Spanish class. The dean is there and he's saying that someone murdered a partially closed animal and threw a human corpse out of the window.
And that's what it takes to cancel April Fools.
It's now March 32nd forever.
Mm-hmm.
You could have told me it was March 432nd, and I would have still believed you.
Yes. Yeah.
Pierce asks how he knows it's one of them, and the dean asks why he's dressed like a wizard.
Yeah. And then Pierce points the wand at the dean, just starts grunting. He's like, is he having a stroke?
trying to focus his psychic energy.
Yeah. I think front half of the episode, Pierce is a great character. Like this is a funny moment.
He loses it in the back half and it really is upsetting.
Yeah, he totally loses it. Yeah. He's like doing great. It's like, oh, Pierce, you're having a banner week. And then he does the rant and it's like, nope, you're out.
Yep, losing points rapidly. Pierce.
Yeah.
For every 5 seconds of homophobic material, you lose a half a point.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All it takes is one rant.
Yep. So he says they found a senior Chang hat in the room and they ruled out Chang because he has a crippling fear of frogs.
Yeah, I do not like Chang's like, I told you that in confidence.
Not only do they hold up the senior Chang hat that they found in the room, first they also hold up the bag of like frog guts.
Mm-hmm.
They hold
up just like the viscera.
Frog. Yes.
Yeah, the guts and gore.
How did she possibly get
that much guts out of it just by stepping on it.
Just grossed it up and put it in a plastic bag and kept carrying it around until the next day.
Well, we know they leave human bodies out, so why not? True.
It's so savage. It's just, it is like a barely sizable Ziploc bag that is just like blood splattered.
It's like a gallon Ziploc. Yeah, it's a gallon.
It's gross. Yeah.
It's much larger than the Ziploc that has the hat in it. The hat, which also stayed like, free of blood.
Of the guts.
Yeah. It's much better that way.
So the dean asks, whoever did it to fess up. No one says anything. And for every one day, no one confesses, someone who is friends or family with the cadaver will come in and speak to them. Glenda, the cadaver's mother, is here.
Mm-hmm.
It was Harry, and he kept a dream journal.
Mm-hmm.
I had that dream again where I'm in a forest, but the trees are pencils.
Now, with the erasers up.
Erasers out.
It's erasers out for sure. Yes. They're like the leaves.
We all came ready with the exact same joke for this podcast.
Yes.
Britt is walking out and Jeff says, impressive, hilarious.
It was an accident.
Britt doesn't want to confess because it'll play into the Britt is a buzzkill mythology. If the toe tag fits
is an incredible turn of phrase.
Yes. And apparently Harry had 13 nieces and nephews. And Jeff urges Britta to confess, and if she doesn't, he'll tell everyone.
Yeah,
Jeff
well, sucks. He has cornered Britta in this moment. What is she supposed to do? Not frame Jeff at that?
You know,
like this only goes one way.
It's basically blackmailing her.
Yeah, basically. So I don't blame her for what she does next. We're outside on the Greendale campus. Shirley and Annie are on their UTV with Abed in the back. They're spying on people. Apparently, Starburns is reading Wholesome Living magazine. I guess fascinating people don't resort to growing shapes on their faces.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley says if he makes one false move, she's going to go Shirley on him. That's what my high school friends called crazy. And Annie asks if she's going to go Shirley-er than she did when she got addicted to pills.
Wow.
This was like a real parallel between like Shirley being a verb and Britta becoming a verb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Annie is tired of everyone thinking of her as a little girl. Shirley says everyone just looks at her like a mom. She's not done yet. She still has moves. Annie hasn't even started yet. She gets a call from a blocked number, and the person on the call says the person they're looking for is Jeff Winger. Annie and Shirley are excited. Cut to action sequence.
So this is, they're going to do their big chase. They're going to shake down Jeff, who has been framed. His backpack is filled with all of the clothes for a small, tiny animal.
And a quip, an amphibious mariachi band.
Yes. There's like luchador masks in there. Tiny like matador clothing.
Yeah.
It's all very glittery.
Jeff says Britta planted it, and Shirley says, tell that to what our equivalent of a judge is.
Yes. Yeah.
And he takes chase.
Yeah, he takes chase. He Chevy chases down the street, and he's going to go on foot. Shirley cut him off the other side. Annie's gonna run after her and stop, or I'll shoot.
The pepper spray.
And she sprays the pepper spray and runs into the mist.
So funny. It's so funny. And I feel like someone could do, like, this has happened. This has absolutely. Definitely this has happened.
Yeah.
And this, I love it so much. And like we see like Jeff like shaking his head like this is unbelievable. And then the next thing we see is Annie dusting off her hat, and her entire under eye is just covered in mascara tears.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And what have we learned today? Yeah, I was gonna say, what have we learned today? Annie wears a lot of mascara.
And it's not waterproof.
No. Nope.
Oh, Shirley blames Annie for letting Jeff get away. He got away because of your driving, Grandma.
Mm-hmm. I beg your pardon, Hannah Montana.
Shirley and Annie bicker while Abed offers someone the rest of his raisinets to save his seat on the UTV while he goes to the bathroom.
Yeah, but this is going to lead us into Abed having to ream them out, right? This is pretty much where he's going to have to like go in and
he becomes
do,
part
like,
of the story. That
he needs to become like the harsh sergeant who is going to
that's why he gives up his candy.
Your gun and your badge. Yeah,
because he has to enter the movie.
Yes, it's so good. He's manipulating the dean by, like, feeding him lines. My ass is on the line. I just got off the phone with the mayor. And this is when Abed criticizes the dean, says he's not doing it right. So the dean lets Abed do it. I'm sick and tired of making excuses for you, too. You're an embarrassment to the department. Nah. You're off the case and off the force.
Your badges and your windbreakers. Now, yeah. You're agitating my sciatica.
I'm too old for this.
So Dean's like, that was a little harsh. It's exactly what they needed to hear.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. Don't even think about getting near this case. And we see Leonard writing Dean Pelton sucks on the desk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is when Shirley and Annie agree that Abed was right. They need to work together. Shirley says she doesn't need a badge to finish this.
Yep. Yeah.
So good.
Yes.
Yes, so we're back in the study room. Jeff says, nice job, Britta Dick Darnold. Colonial burn.
It's excellent.
Love a colonial burn.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And this is when Annie and Shirley enter, and Shirley says they can do this the easy way if he wants to confess. Jeff says he can prove it was Britta. And apparently, Jeff found photos on Britta's Facebook page that shows a cat wearing a necktie. Mm-hmm. And that makes him, and she just says, formal.
Formal? Yeah.
She's not wrong.
She's not.
She's very formal.
I also love that this is proof.
Yes. That she would put a sombrero on a frog.
I mean, after this, I would convict her. For sure.
Not beyond a reasonable doubt.
No, throw the book. This is the Pierce rant. I don't know. It's terrible.
Awful.
It's not
really
great.
Awful. He's apparently reading Jeff's mind, and it's homophobic. It's awful.
Yep.
I hate it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Annie tells Pierce to sit down and they'll take it from here. She asks where Jeff was last night. He says a bar, and Shirley asks who can confirm it. He says your mama, and Annie slams his head into the table.
But to give her, like, you know, some
seriously
some leeway here, she's just trying to be an adult. So
I love it so much.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard every time I've watched this episode.
Her name's not Annie, it's Psycho.
And he just slams it into the table.
Yeah.
And Annie tells him to confess because if she hands him over to Shirley, he's in for a kitchen of pain.
She pulls out a pizza wheel. She's like gonna like cut him.
This is terrifying.
Yeah, where was this going, Deidre?
She was gonna pizza his face.
She was gonna pizza his face off.
I famously don't own a pizza wheel, and I got a pizza delivered to my house maybe a week ago that was not sliced. And so
what
if
monsters do that?
I know. So this is the second time that
it's bad behavior.
That
also, how do you not have a pizza slicer? That's the better question.
Yeah.
How do you not own one? Yeah, but have you ever like made anything that required a pizza slicer? I mean, you can be used for more than just pizza.
I don't make a lot of frozen pizza, so.
And when you do, Deidre, you just get the one slice.
Yeah, I did get that one time.
Deidre loves, you go to the supermarket, you see that table 87 giant slice of pizza that's in the freezer. That's Deidre's favorite. Deidre loves that slice of pizza.
That one slice of pizza is actually very good frozen pizza, but it's also
I saw it in the store the other day and I had to take a picture and post it.
So
and
it's really
Deidre,
terrifying.
Look, I found your favorite pizza.
Yeah, it's really terrifying that it says it's like one slice for like 400 calories, but it is.
Oh my God.
It does make you think.
It really does. Yeah.
It does.
I don't want to know. If I'm eating a whole pizza, like, I don't want to know.
Become a cause for concern. Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. But yeah, This is the second time that a pizza slicer has been relevant in the last of my life.
So Britta like does not want to see Jeff get sliced by a pizza cutter to death. So she volunteers that it was her. She confesses, I'm a buzzkill. That's who I am. You guys do the fun. I destroy the fun. Knock, knock. Who's there? Cancer. Oh, good. Come on in. I thought it was Britta.
It's so awful, but I just love
my God
this rant from Britta. It's so Britta. She just wants to help. She wants to be included. She wants to be loved. But everything goes wrong for Britta.
My God. Yeah. It really does. It doesn't go great. But Gillian Jacobs really sells it. I think she's so funny here.
And she's not wrong. Like, literally, don't you remember the episode where Dean is like, oh, Britta's in this? Like, poor Britta. This is, she's always the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel bad for her about it.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. Everybody's feeling bad right now. This, and he's like, I just want to feel like an adult. That's why I slammed Jeff's head. I want to be like Shirley. And Shirley's like, I want to be young. I hate that everyone's obsessed with my age. I'm not as old as you think I am. And Pierce is like, I'm not really magic. Who gave me these robes by accident?
I was just pretending to be a level 6 to impress you guys. I got held back.
And Troy's upset because he just played along with the cookie wand because he doesn't know the Cookie Crisp wizard.
Mm-hmm.
He has a different Cookie Crisp mascot. He just wanted Jeff to think he was smart.
The way that he said the words cookie wand are like going to be.
It's a cookie wand.
It's a cookie wand.
It's just iconic. I love the way that he says things.
Yes.
Britta realizes she did it again. She killed the Buzz. Jeff says Buzzkill's a poor choice of words. Britta's the dark cloud that unites them. She's the anti-winger. Yeah. She's the heart of the group. And Annie calls Britta over to them. They hug, and Abed is watching with popcorn.
Very good. A heartwarming ending to a really funny episode of the show. Really, really, really good.
Yes. And of course, one of the more iconic end credit scenes, Troy and Abed in the morning. They have Jeff on. They ask how he stays fit. People are behind watching, like, what is it, like the morning show?
Yeah, one of those ones. The show set up.
Yes.
Isn't like, the there's like a sign like, it's my birthday.
Leonard has the sign that says, it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a clip. You want to set it up for us? They don't actually have a clip. They're just doing impressions of Jeff.
Yep.
They don't have cameras, and they're not actually filming. And Jeff is annoyed because it's 6 a.m.
Is this the only Troy and Abed in the morning? Nope. Is this what it's from? Is this the first?
This is the first.
Yeah. Great.
It comes back.
Great. I love it. This was really fun to see that this is where it comes from.
Yeah.
This is the genesis. Obviously iconic. I have a Troy and Abed in the morning t-shirt courtesy of one Jess Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable t-shirt. Remarkably comfortable t-shirt.
Now I want to know about the t-shirt.
It's great. It says Troy and Abed in the morning. It's got a microphone on it. It kind of looks like a sunset.
Aww. Yeah. Yeah.
Or that was
I liked that one because it had a maybe.
I'm currently too large to wear it on camera, but I wear it around the apartment all the time. Yeah. One day we'll get back to it, but not yet. No way. Anyway, so this is obviously Streets Ahead. Three ahead.
Very much ahead.
Yeah, for sure.
Very much ahead.
A little bit of feedback, not a ton, some F community from Eric Divestein. I believe a birthday coming soon.
Ooh.
Not yet. We're getting there.
Everybody's birthday is always coming soon. And as we got an announcement from Jess that we're getting ready for Jess's birthday in 2 months, everybody's birthday is always coming soon. That's
coming up.
That's not how calendar works.
We're not quite there on Eric's birthday, but I
do
have
a happy birthday anyway because we have to.
I do have it marked. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping an eye out for it. Eric says, "What kind of a community college keeps dozens of live animals and human corpses out in the open?
Yep.
In the same unattended and unlocked room?" I think that that's a big piece of it. Unattended, unlocked, and out in the open.
Out in the open, unrefrigerated.
The cadavers.
Very troublesome.
Disturbing.
I don't like that.
It doesn't have the stuff in it. It's so gross.
That piece is tough.
I do legitimately. I feel very bad for the family of our poor cadaver man who have already forgotten his name. But like, not even for the fact that he fell out the window. Like, just the fact that like his life has been reduced to just like sitting in a cadaver out in the open,
mm-hmm.
rotting in a community college anatomy lab, surrounded by porcupines and mush frogs.
Riley says, "I think this is the most season one episode of Community there is. Britta is peak season one Britta. The Pierce storyline with him being in a cult and the group mocking him for it, but Pierce falling for it is a very season one Pierce story. And then everything with Annie and Shirley is hysterical and is peak comedy for those characters." See, like, I felt like this had the energy of, like, leaving season one. Like, this didn't feel, like, completely out of place in season one by any stretch of the imagination, but it definitely feels like it's leaning more into genre than we have typically in the past. So I feel like this actually doesn't feel terribly season one to my experience.
It's a nice bridge to next week's episode.
Yeah, to be clear, like, I'm saying that as a compliment, for sure.
Yeah, no, I think to me this feels more season two, or at least, like you were saying, leaning into season two. When I think of season one of Community, I largely think of, like, Abed and Jeff-centered episodes, and this is not that. So to me, it leans more season two.
Yeah. Me, me, meow, meow time. All right, let's do the beans. I'll go. I did give 3 fives, as I mentioned. Shirley and Annie, very obviously, for all of the reasons. Britta as well, very specifically for that scene. Although an underrated piece of it is, it's Jeff Winger, the phone call. I think it's pretty good. And then her confession is spectacular. A 4.5 from Abed. Like, you know, there's the world where you just give him the 5. But like, I am gonna hold myself back just because there's so many shots to do that. 3.5 for Troy, who is mostly just there for me, except his confession at the end, I think, is really funny. Gives him that 0.5 bump. And also Troy and Abin in the morning is factoring into that. Jeff and Chang for me are kind of both just here in the episode. So I'll give him a 3. Chang is funny when we get him. Jeff is fine. Pierce probably would have been higher if not for, this is just like shitty, stupid Pierce. And I think like this is like, this is stuff where like, I don't love what Community is doing here. Just give him a 2.5 because he was really, really funny in other parts of the episode. But even that, I feel like is relatively generous for Pierce. Those are my meow meows. Yeah. Deidre, what you got?
I didn't love the Pierce stuff. I felt weird not giving him a 0, but he does have some good stuff here.
He looks hilarious.
He does. Yeah. I mean, just enough is, he's delirious. Yes. He's probably vomiting from all the salt water. He's just like dressed like Mickey Mouse in Fantasia with a cookie wand. So, you know, just on the sight gag alone, like 2.5. But yeah, I gave Jeff a 3.5. I'm not really a fan of him hating on Britta, even though he does bring it back with kindness. Britta, I gave her 4. I do find the sombrero wearing Senor Chang frog to be quite amusing. I gave a 5 to the trio of Abed, Shirley, and Annie. I love the murder mystery plot and the buddy cop plot. Like, it's the perfect deployment of Abed in this as just sort of like the meta commentator behind the scenes. Like, he's so great. And if I can't give him a 5 for that, then what have I been doing this for? Roy, I gave him a 3.5. The peanuts and the snake was a top notch joke. That I think is the funniest joke in this whole actual episode, the joke part.
Is withholding the snake from the jar of peanuts.
Yes. Yeah. I just love it when a joke is turned on its head. It really tickles me.
Yes.
But yeah, he's really not there besides the very first scene and the very last scene. Shirley and Annie, 5s again, just fantastic. And Chang, he's really just there to say that he's a frid frog. So I give him a 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to know more about Chang's fear of frogs.
I want to know where it originated.
Why is it debilitating for him?
Yeah, I want to get there. Yeah.
I know. I like really want to talk to Chang's therapist, like ask many questions there against HIPAA regulations.
Yeah.
For my meow meows, at the bottom of the barrel, we have Chang with a 3, who, again, he didn't do much. I did like the frog line, so I bumped him up from a 2.5. I gave Pierce a 3. It's like, it's really frustrating. I feel like I enjoyed him for 3/4 of the episode, but that last moment really does bring him down a ton. Jeff, I gave a 3. I also agree. I didn't really care for him this episode. I feel like he's kind of unnecessarily mean to Britta. I just feel like sometimes he rides that line. And if not for like that nice moment at the end he had with her, he definitely would have been lower in my meow meows. Troy, I gave a 3.5. I love the tiny moments that he adds. And it's honestly Donald Glover that tends to bump him up a 0.5 even if he's barely in that episode.
Yeah, the performance.
It always elevates it. Yep. Mm-hmm, yeah,
for sure.
Good one.
Britta and Abed both at a 4.5. Abed is hilarious in this role. I agree with Josh. I didn't give him a 5 just because I know there's going to be other opportunities where he has like a bigger role that I want to award a 5 to him. It's like, is it, 5 is like a really big deal in my opinion to just like, I can't just give him out, you know, they gotta earn.
I'll do it.
Yeah, you will.
I will.
I mean, I have
now that I've been pressured. Yeah.
But also, like, to be clear, I think sometimes too much Abed is too much Abed. So, like, to me, yeah, this is just the right amount of Abed in the right ways. So,
That's fair. Britta, I also gave a 4.5. She potentially in another world, she could have a 5. She's very close to a 5 in this episode. I just think there's so much like heart there. And this is really just like a showcase of who Britta is as a character for better and for worse. I mean, obviously, Charlene and he get 5s. Like, literally, there's no way I'm coming in here not giving them both 5s. They're both hilarious.
They I'd play say off you each were a psycho if you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They play off each other wonderfully. They're one of my favorite pairs. They're honestly so similar and just like they're like the same person at two different points in their life.
They're
you know,
two
like
sides of a very similar coin.
Totally.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I think they're just such a fun pair to see. So they both earned 5s from me. We've had a little bit of shifting on the board. We now have a different person in second place. Obviously, Abed is still at the top. He had a really great episode. He's not going anywhere. Shirley is now in second.
I love it. I'm so happy about it.
Gosh, we're going over
one Shirley. Oh my God. I love Shirley so much. Great Shirley episode. So much fun. Seeing her in second place right now. Very thrilled about that. Still tight. Still tight. You know, second to sixth place. That's a spread of 8 points.
Yeah. It's all very close. Troy has fallen to third. Britta jumped over Jeff to fourth place, and now Jeff is in fifth. But Annie is not trailing too far behind. She's only 2 points behind Jeff at the moment, and I do not think Jeff is going to stay in fifth place. I think he's going to lose traction very quickly into season two. Pierce and Chang are obviously bringing up the rear still.
Yep, for sure. Dean's list. Yeah, I'm switching. I was Dean. I'm switching it to Leonard. Leonard's very funny in this one. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to give my first Leonard point.
Yeah, I think this might be the first time that me, you, and the guest have all had different answers. I put the Dean. I think that, to me, he's very funny when he's taking direction from Abed. I love that scene.
Dean can't be stopped. He's got it. He's got his own list. He's gonna win. I think we got to remove him next season. It's
that
just
was
not
part
fair.
Of the reason that I didn't even bother giving the Dean my Dean's list point because he's unstoppable.
Yeah. So who is getting your Dean's list point here?
So this is a question that I never actually asked. And so, am I allowed to give my point to a non-human character?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Why not? In that case, my choice is the frog.
Senior Chang the frog.
Senior Chang frog.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. indeed.
He's Senior Chang, and he can be killed.
He can be killed. This is a warning. He can be killed.
Only
you have to turn him into a frog.
Turn him into a frog.
My close
second place backup / if you told me I was not allowed to pick a non-human was Glenda the cadaver's mom. So sorry, Glenda.
She was great.
Yeah, I think you can give it to the frog. It's totally fine.
Deserve it.
All right, let's rate the episode in our cool coolant system. Biggest one for me in a minute. I'm going to give it a 3.7. I thought this was really funny, and I'm going to rank it higher by a little bit than most of my like high scores in season one. As like a nod towards where it feels like we are moving towards, like more of like the community that I've seen, more of what I've heard of community is known for. This feels like we're on ramping towards that stuff in a really great way. And also, I should note, in a way that I feel like as a viewer, like I don't feel like we're losing sight of character. Like I felt like this was both like concept D, but also still really, really fun with the characters. So this was great. This was a really, really, really strong episode of the show for me.
It's a great episode. It's not a perfect episode. There are things that I don't love about it, but it's very, very fun.
Mm-hmm. So what did you give it, Deidre?
I went with the cool coup. So I am a big fan of the letters for the 0.25. So that's a 3.75 for me. So I'm splitting the difference. Spoiler alert.
Yes, I gave it a 3.8. I loved this episode. I thought it was wonderful. It is my second highest episode right behind Comparative Religion thus far. Obviously, if Annie plays a heavy part, more likely I'm going to like it. But I just think it's also a great concept episode. And I loved both A and B storylines here. I think it was hilarious. And the audience agrees. 3.43 from them, which brings our average to a 3.67. It is in second place, people.
Wow.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed watching this this episode of the show, like right after watching the whole season of Mayor of Easttown. Thought that was really fun. She's not a buddy cop. Well, I guess to some extent she does have her partner there, but it was a really fun, like, just visit back to that genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really fun.
Very fun.
So this is the second best episode of Community so far.
So far, I'm going to guess that when we get to next week, it will not be anymore.
I'm pretty hyped. It's finally time for the Thanksgiving episode.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
For real this time. Yeah. Contemporary American Poultry coming up next week. This was the episode that, like, we watched this one. We'll get into it more next week, I'm sure, Jess. But, like, this mm-hmm. is the one where then I was like, I reached out to you. It's like, all right, so how are we? We're just going to do this, right?
Yeah, we're doing the podcast. It's happening. And then I had to keep a secret for a really long time.
Yeah.
Josh just loves chicken nuggets and all shape and
form. I love chicken nuggets so much. Oh, my God. I don't get to eat them, and it sucks.
I mean, I haven't eaten a chicken nugget in a really long time, but I would kill for some chicken nuggets right now.
Way too long.
Another whole week to be craving chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
And then hopefully after next week's podcast, we will be able to move our cravings. Pizza,
yes.
Chicken nuggets, or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Contemporary American Poultry coming up on the podcast next week. As it stands, no guest, right, Jess? Yes. Us so far, just us chickens.
Just us chickens.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Deidre, what a pleasure. This was great.
It was great. Thank you for having me. I feel so honored.
Deidre, thank you for being here. Deidre, where can people find you?
You can find me on Social Recaps Discord. If you are listening to this and you haven't joined the Patreon program, you are very much missing out on so much fun and so many things. But
do you like it? Do you like the Social Recaps Patreon program?
To say I like it would be misleading, because I don't like it. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the Social Recaps Patreon.
I like it too. I think it's great.
It's so much fun. I'm on Twitter, DH Lips. I'm not worth a follow, but
I'm there. That's great. You know, fair. I kind of feel that way about myself, so I should say that more often.
I mean, you tweet about 100,000 times more than I do.
I like to tweet like twice a week, maybe. I'm in the Discord, really, is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. I tweet twice a month, if that.
Yeah, really, you find me in the Discord. That's where I'm on social media these days.
Yes.
Deidre, recently, Jess, I believe, the 90s taught her some shit. Would you like to tell us about this?
Yes, the 90s did teach Deidre some shit. She was on to talk about the famous 90s movie Now and Then with us.
She'd never seen this movie before. Podcast.
Yes, it was hilarious. Pudding boobs were discussed. It was great. Give it a listen.
Sweet.
They taught us so many things about the appropriate number of friends you should have, and
Sarah's theory.
Yes. How old should you be when you're sharing cigarette with a Vietnam War veteran? And
there's very, very many things to learn. How good looking Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser.
I don't know. It's a
Brendan.
Tough one.
Brendan Fraser. It's not that hard.
Who to contact on a seance that you might be planning?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
Jess, who would you contact if you were going to do a seance tonight? Should we do a seance, the three of us?
Not right now, but I want to contact Senior Chang the Frog.
Oh, yeah, he would be a good guy. Who would you rather contact out of this episode, the frog or the cadaver?
Senior Chang the Frog.
Yeah, the frog, for sure.
Yeah.
Not
even a question. Yeah, I want to know. I want to know. Just what other shit has the 90s... What other shit have the 90s taught you recently on the podcast? The shit 90s shows taught me.
We recently had Asia on to talk about Boy Meets World. That'll be coming out soon. Really fun time. We're finally getting into the Corey Topanga relationship drama.
Ooh.
Which, like, I didn't realize how on again, off again they were. But that is something. Eli is now on the show. We love Eli. Very exciting stuff there. Dawson's Creek, it is just getting more and more dramatic, and it's honestly the best. The show is so stupid, but it's so amazing. It is like the height of 90s teen drama. If that is your thing, please check it out. You don't even have to watch the show because Sarah and I go through it all, and we just have a great time. And Sarah and I's friendiversary is actually coming up.
Aww.
So you should give us a listen to celebrate.
Sweet. Yes. You love that. You love to hear it. Love to hear it. Folks, it's our friendiversary every day. Every day we proceed, we're celebrating the continuation of our friendship here on Post Show Recaps. Whether you are part of the patron community, which would be wonderful, at patreon.com/postshowrecaps, or you just listen to the shows and you have fun time, you tweet at us and stuff, like, that's dope too. Even if you don't tweet at us, even if you just listen to the podcast and you walk around, you've never like shouted at any of us, and you're just like, these are my friends. You know what? You're right. We are. And
very
it's great.
True.
And
this is the community that we have built.
We have the best time.
I mean you guys.
No, we all have built it together.
We're all here.
We're all doing it. It's fantastic. It's my favorite thing. We'll be back next week talking about my favorite episode of Community. I'm so hyped about that. That's going to be incredible. Contemporary American Poultry coming up next. Until then, Corey B., take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here.